Thanks, Michael. Coming up on Business PM, the Yogurt King cultivating food startups, why the world wants to buy Brand Australia. But first, voracious Chinese demand for off-the-plan property has helped fuel the overheated East Coast housing market. As a group, Chinese are the biggest foreign investors in Australian residential real estate, spending four times more than the US investors, who are in second place. But the Reserve Bank is warning that lending restrictions and higher taxes will see this lucrative market start to shrink. As offshore buyers pull out of sales, there are predictions it will hit Sydney and Melbourne property prices. Here's Emily Stewart.
For years, buy, buy, buy seemed the mantra of offshore Chinese investors. With deep pockets, they've dominated the off-the-plan property market. But with the tightening of government regulations, the welcome mats being rolled back up. Sean Lin from Sydney-based Linfield Property Agents.
We found out in the last 12 months our offshore market has cooled down a big time.
Chinese investors have helped drive the property market to new heights. They are the biggest group of foreign buyers of Australian real estate, according to the Foreign Investment Review Board, spending $32 billion in 2015-16 alone, mostly in Sydney and Melbourne. As non-residents, they're restricted to purchasing newly constructed property, and while they only account for a fraction of the $7 trillion market, the slowdown's been enough for Sean Lin's business to change its strategy and sell to local Chinese buyers instead.
Up to this year, 2017, my overseas client will be also about 10% only, not so many at all.
Last year, the Reserve Bank warned a reduction in Chinese off-the-plan investment is inevitable, and if Chinese investors pull back, it could weigh on domestic property prices. David Chin is a China expert from Basis Point.
It's a maelstrom of issues that's converged together at the same time. So you've got the capital constraints, which has been tightening up over the last 6 months, and increasingly on the horizon, it looks to be continue to be tight.
The Chinese government has further restricted how individuals transfer money abroad, and this month it's put the brakes on companies spending on overseas property development too. Australian banks stopped lending to overseas buyers last year. Walton Chu is the chief executive of real estate agency Home 789.
It's getting harder and harder to get the money out from China.
At the same time, Chinese investors now have to pay more tax for Australian property. The Victorian and New South Wales state governments have increased stamp duty charges for foreign investors, which amounts to an average $30,000. And the federal government is set to introduce a $5,000 vacant property tax as part of a suite of housing affordability measures. David Chin again.
The situation in Vancouver, Toronto, Hong Kong and Singapore, all these countries at one point in time increased the foreign stamp duty quite significantly to levels similar to Australia or slightly higher. And in all cases, there was a dip in the demand and the pricing and the volume of business.
While no formal statistics are captured, real estate agents contacted by the ABC are already seeing an increase in nomination sales, where buyers try and on-sell their off-the-plan properties when it comes time to settle. It's happening in Sydney, according to Walton Chu.
I can't deny. For our business, we are okay. But as I heard from my agent friends, quite a lot of overseas buyers, they are struggling to get the finance here. So either they will choose just a payoff straight away, or they would rather just say, okay, I lose the 10% deposit and then I walk away.
It's happening in Melbourne too, according to Andrew Wood from Wood Property.
The tightening of the finance regulations has made it harder, and so there are more buyers exploring the nomination sale at the moment than they would have been in the past.
And while the Australian brand in China remains strong, Walton Chu says these legislative changes mean some Chinese buyers don't feel quite as welcome in Australia anymore.
They shifted their focus away from Australia. They are looking at our neighbour New Zealand, Europe and some other Asian countries to invest.
Emily Stewart there. Billionaire yogurt king Hamdi Ulukaya has gone from Turkish immigrant to an American success story. Launched in 2007 from a disused craft factory in New York, his Chobani brand is now the top-selling yogurt in the US and the second in Australia. He's now turning his sights on developing Brand Australia, which he says is an unexploited goldmine for food. This week, he launched his Australian Food Incubator, backing four local startups with cash and kitchens in the search for the next big thing. I caught up with Hamdi Ulukaya in Sydney. Hamdi Ulukaya, you think Australia can lead the world in food innovation. Why Australia?
I look at the land. I look at this is a land that grows everything. I look at the mixture of culture where the food memories are coming from all over the world. I mean, it's a melting pot here. There's a lot of cultures. I look at people's attention to food and flavors and how that means in their life. And if you combine all of that together, and if you look at the practices when it comes to food safety, ingredient sourcing, all of that get together, you say this is a gold mine right here, that it could be a food innovation network.
Are we not exploiting that, do you think?
No. I mean, that's the reason I came in here. When I arrived to Australia first time five and a half years ago, I had a brand Australia in my mind. I always liked, things from Australia.
Because we're clean and green?
Wild and free and all that kind of stuff. But when I arrived, I thought it would be a lot better when it comes to offering on the supermarket shelf. Why is that missing? Is lacking of a little bit of food innovation, entrepreneurship, startups coming into the landscape.
The barriers to entry are very high in this country. We've got a very concentrated power when it comes to food retailing. Mm-hmm. You're putting a lot of money of your own and supporting innovation and entrepreneurship and innovation. But what about the barriers to entry?
I think that's changing. I really do. What I find on retailers, I agree with you, there's concentration in here. They're aware of importance of innovation, importance of new product coming into the marketplace, and what's lacking between here and other markets like U.S. When we started in the United States 10 years ago, it would be unheard of to start up company to put their product into the shelf of, let's say, Walmart or Target or Stop and Shop, ShopRite, because that's not the game you play. You go to the natural section, you go to mom and pop stores, you start there, 5 years struggle, and later on maybe you'll make it to there. But people change their way. People start being locally buying. When I say people, the retailers, they start buying locally, they start buying regional. They start buying from the small startups. They start giving the offerings to the newcomers. There's a lot of change happen, and I saw a lot of change happen here too. Me and my team, it was a struggle to get into the shelf, even though we had a very long, I shouldn't say a successful history back in the U.S., but it was a startup here.
You're here in Australia, you're spending a lot of money, you're sort of betting on this market as a good place to be. But our wages are higher, our taxes are higher. If you listen to a lot of business leaders in this country, they say that we're not competitive, that no one would want to come here from another country, particularly not the US, because we're so expensive. And our power prices are so expensive.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I said it yesterday.
Why are you here?
Yeah. Look, there's always things are different based on where you are, what you do business, and how is it set up. And those are the things that you accept before you come in. Energy, I don't understand it. I just don't get it. I mean, we should be more accessible energy prices here than anywhere else. You're never going to hear me talking about wages because that is the place. We don't look for the saving. That's the place we look for is making sure that everybody has a good income to have a healthy life, to have a better life for their family and be in the society in a very comfortable way. One of the biggest problems we have facing, especially in the U.S. also, is income inequality. And once the workers in the factory is making a lot less And when the rich is making a lot more, when the gap is getting bigger, that's not healthy for the society. So that we should make it always better. That's but there's always saving everywhere. When you say taxes, there's a government policies, and I have different opinion when it comes to taxes. We all must pay our taxes. But we also encourage businesses to invest, because that's where we are. I mean, when I arrived here, I'm giving my examples. I bought the business. People thought I was crazy. Then I decided to make an investment, dramatic investment, into our factory here before we sold the cup. And that was another thing that people thought we were crazy. And that wasn't enough. We just did another one, you know. And me and my colleagues are looking at to see what else we're going to do in the next couple of years. Can that be easier? Can those barriers be removed, or can there be some encouragement to have business to invest, especially companies from outside? I mean, that's always good for business.
Andy Ulukaya, it's been great to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
The local share market closed in positive territory. The All Ords and the ASX 200 closed up around 0.75%. And the Aussie dollar is currently buying around 79 US cents. And that's all for Business PM. I'm Liz Morgan. Good night.